Hello, everyone. Welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. Excited to have not a first-time guest, maybe the second time, Mr. Keith Morrison, City of Allgood manager. Keith, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here and be with you again, and looking forward to another great interview.
Yeah, I appreciate the updates and y'all coming in and talking. The first time you were on, I know we learned a lot about you as a person, and appreciate that insight. But I want to start out by saying Allgood is doing really well, and a part of that
is
your leadership and the abilities that you have and your council and your mayor, and it's just a team effort, I know. But, man, you really do a good job, and I'm thankful you're there.
We got great leadership. I've got great department heads. They all worked great together. You know, they're working on a joint project right now. April was 12 years that I've been there.
12 years?
12 years. And so
wow.
It's went fast. It's hard to believe, but –
yeah, well, congratulations.
Yeah,
that's
12
good.
Years. And then this Tuesday, May the 13th, we passed our budget.
Nice. You
know, on normal schedule for me, but ahead of schedule for most folks.
Right.
I like to have it passed by May. That way we can put it behind us, and come July 1st, we're just ready to roll, and we're already working on audit stuff and getting ready for the next phase. And
yeah, most cities, I feel like, pass it in June. But there's nothing wrong with passing it early.
Yeah, we like to have it done and out of the way, and it's a big deal for us. You know, the state, I don't know if you know this, the state comptroller's office gives a certificate for cities that finish on time and balanced and everything looks good, and they get the state approval. And we've got that certificate for 5 or 6 straight years now.
Yeah, and I think I'm glad you brought that up. You and I are going to talk government, and I love that part of this show is when I have people like you on. But so I think a lot of that happened from years ago of counties and cities not passing their budget and waiting till July is not terrible. In their mind, it is. I mean, I've said this before on air, and the comptroller, and I worked with the comptroller's office for a long time, 20 years. I've worked, I mean, not for them, but with them. And I respect their opinion and their request. Counties, a lot of counties don't pass it till after the year end close. A lot of cities pass it before the year end closes. I think as long as you're somewhere in between, you know, you're done before August, I think, or before the end of July, I think you're in good shape. Cities and counties used to wait till September.
I don't like waiting. And the latest I've ever been was the end of June, and that just makes me nervous. I like to have it over and done, and July 1st, we're ready to roll.
Do y'all have two readings?
We do. We have two readings, and we start working on budget. And, you know, department heads sit down in December. By January, we're already talking with council, hey, what capital projects do you want? What's important next year? What do you want to look at? What kind of things, you know, do you want me to focus on so I can build the rest of the budget around kind of the big ideas of what we're doing? So by, you know, March and April, you know, we've been talking about it for 2-3 months, and each month we're fine-tuning it a little bit more so that hopefully by April we have first reading. Or if there's still a few things that we're just not quite ready for, then we can push till May and get second reading by the first or second week in June.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, it makes you feel better, feel more prepared, and it's something you're off your plate. And you focus on other
things. I don't have to worry about trying to close end of year and trying to get all that done, because I have to do all the reports for the state. And comptroller's always great to work with. We have a great representative with Charlie. And he takes good care of us. And anytime I've got questions, he's always there to answer. And so they're always supportive and good to help us. And so we're just glad to have that over with.
You know,
like I said, we got that budget certificate, and there's only, I don't know, 80 or 90 cities out of the state that get that out of 345.
I'd say there's 330. I guess there's 345. That's a small percentage.
And so we're excited to do that. It takes a lot of hard work from our staff and department heads and the accountants working on, you know, some of the final reports, cash flow forecasting and things of that nature. And so there's a lot to it. There's more than just the ordinance that has to be submitted. There's a whole packet that goes with it for the state. So it takes quite a bit of work to get it all together.
Are you the main budget person, or do you have somebody you delegate that to?
No, I do the main budget work. Yeah. So, and then the accountant and city recorder and department heads help me put all that together. So we've got Excel sheets and formula sheets that I can drop numbers in, and then it starts sending things to everywhere else it needs to go. So I've got all of that linked together where it auto feeds, and if they change anything, I can go fix a couple of things, auto feed the rest, and then go back and adjust it. So
y'all use Excel for your budget?
I do.
Well, I didn't know if there was like local government software that y'all use for.
No, we use Excel. Of course, the state sheets that they send out, their formula sheets are in Excel. So what I do is I take their sheets and I add my tabs to it to drop my budget format in, and then I auto-feed from there to all the state sheets.
I didn't
sheets.
Know that. So the yeah. state has sheets they send
have,
to the cities.
Yeah, they have okay. budget sheets. If you go online, they've got, you know, everything you need is on there. Cash flow forecasting, your budget sheets are all on there, and you can just – you can fill the numbers in manually, or I'd rather have it fixed to where if I need to change something,
yeah.
I've got one tab that has all of my budget detail that just auto feeds
and everything.
It calculates everything from that tab into the others.
Updates all of it.
Yep.
Well, so in counties, unless they've changed it since the year I've been gone, they do have cash flow sheets, they do have debt sheets, but they don't have like budget sheets because counties use different budget software. So.
Right.
That's different. I've learned something today.
Yeah, it's now we do use local government, and so my accountant will take that budget and detail and put it into local government and make it match the ordinance. And so the ordinance does it different. You know, the state wants the budget detail, but they on the ordinance it's just by department, so it's a department level budget for spending and things of that nature. So
I like it. You got a system. It works.
Yeah, it's a – now, we had to change it because state changed some of their sheets this year, so right. I had to update everything. So, and usually I have to watch because I get a little early, and the state doesn't always release the changes as early, so I have to be careful with that sometimes. But.
So is it the same in cities, Keith, where once the council approves the budget, you send it in to the state and they sign off and approve mm-hmm. it?
They'll have to approve it.
Okay.
And so they'll review it and approve it and – send us back a letter, hey, we've reviewed your budget. Either here's the things we find and you need to fix, or we're approving it, but next year be sure you address these items. It's good, but we want you to go ahead and go a step farther with these. And so,
I imagine the thing they're looking at is fund balance.
A lot of it, and they changed this year. Utility didn't look so much at cash balance as it did net position.
Really?
Because utility is an enterprise fund, so mm-hmm. the water and sewer is self-supporting, and it's paid for by the ratepayers. Mm-hmm. You can't fund it with sales tax. You can't fund it with property tax. It has to be paid by the ratepayer. So this year, instead of using cash balance or fund balance for the budget, they changed it, and they wanted net position run through. And so that's handled a lot by the Water Wastewater Board. So the comptroller is really looking high level at it and then letting the wastewater board really look at it in detail. The other thing with the utility fund is whether it's a cash balance or whether it's a value of an asset that you've got on the books, the state looks at those the same. Doesn't matter if it's cash in the bank or if you've got a $10 million sewer plant, that value is equivalent in their eyes because of the way the fund balance works on that.
Does that make it easier for you when you're trying to prepare a budget and you know in your mind going forward, I feel good about our financial position, or does all those changes or all those dynamics make it harder?
It's harder, and it's harder to explain to folks that don't work in it every day. If you're not really working with that every day, it's a lot more difficult. And understanding that it's an enterprise fund and you can't just spend that on anything and you can't just move money around. It has to be specifically used for things that are specific to the water and sewer department.
It's restricted.
It is. It's a restricted fund, and it's difficult. And another thing that makes it difficult is you have to account for depreciation.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you're not spending that money, it has to be pulled in your revenue stream every year, and that can be a substantial chunk of money. For us, it's about $300,000 a year, and,
yeah.
and the more projects you put on the books, the higher that number goes.
And that affects your net position.
It
right?
does, and you have to account for that cash on your incoming cash flow, and you can't spend it. I mean, it's money going into the bank to pay for future replacement of that project,
yeah.
so it has to be put in there, and that's a hard one, and you can lose it real quick. And if you don't stay in the black, you know, if you're in the red for more than 2 years, the state comes in and says, hey, it's time for a change, you know.
So an enterprise fund like we're talking about, the only change you can make is raise the rates or cut expenditures, right?
One of the two, yeah. You've got to do something. So either raise rates or you start cutting expenses somehow. And it's really hard to cut expenses, you know, when you're trying to do things. And that's why a lot of systems you'll see is instead of trying to really do a major project, they just try to patch what they've got because it's cheaper to do that than it is to have to pay that depreciation on a huge project expense.
Yeah, and I want to make everything clear. I don't want people to think we're misleading them. When an enterprise fund is, like you said, it's a fee, it's a rate, it's based, right? Right. There's the fees they pay for sewer or water is cannot go pay for law enforcement or maintenance or anything like that. It stays within that enterprise fund,
which pay for strictly water and sewer, personnel, equipment, repairs, you know, whatever you have to have, you know, whatever materials and supplies and pipe. It strictly pays for those things. Yeah. Anything to operate those funds is what it pays for.
And then, as you said, when you finish, when y'all pass the budget, you're sending it to the comptroller's office, you're sending it to the wastewater board. Now, there's different places that's looking at your budget to say,
yeah, they're going to look at it.
We approve or we sign off on it.
Right. And then they're going to compare it to your audit and see how you're doing. They want to see that net position improving. And if it's not, then they're going to want to know why. And going in front of that board and answering, well, why aren't you showing positive changes in your position for this utility is not a fun place to be.
And usually cities, y'all have to contract with a private firm, right, for the audit?
We do. Yeah, we have to hire an outside audit firm, which is getting harder to do. There's less and less government funding and or government agencies that will do an audit. We've had a couple that if one's retired and one other company didn't have the staffing to keep us anymore. So last year I had to scramble to find an auditor, and it was a struggle.
Well, you would think these CPA firms would like to make some money, right?
Well, the problem is there's so many regulations and new rules after
there is. And I wonder if it's just lack of knowledge at those accountants they have at the audit firm. They don't feel comfortable picking up a municipality, but I don't know. Anyway. I love this conversation. It's flown by. I'm with Keith Morrison. He is the city manager for the city of Allgood on Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers with Mr. Keith Morrison, the Allgood City Manager. Great to have you on, Keith. Appreciate the information. Love that first segment. You and I went down the path that we're familiar with, and hope our listeners appreciated us explaining and how, you know, funds and enterprise funds work in cities, and they know their sewer and water dollars are going strictly to that service. It's not going somewhere else. So I appreciate that explanation, that detail. You mentioned you passed the budget on Tuesday, May 13th. Let's talk about some highlights. Was there any tax increases?
No tax increase. So we're still same property tax level we have been for years. And, you know, we were talking earlier, I've been there 12 years. We've never increased the property tax. It has always went down.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, several years ago, they dropped it pretty substantial. I don't think they took about 10 cents.
Reappraisal. Yep.
Well, not even without.
Oh,
without,
they did it
they
themselves.
Just automatically said, drop it.
I got
so
you.
So council said, we can do this without that. Let's take care of our residents. And so they did that. And we've never increased it since I've been there. Of course, reappraisals next year.
Yes, it is.
So that'll be an interesting year. It always is. Yep. You know, one of the things that we've done is requires a lot of oversight, and the state requires cities to have a certified municipal finance officer. Mm-hmm. So we have our accountant she's a CPA. She's been CMFO for years and been in public accounting, government accounting for a while. I think she's got 10 to 12 years experience in that and even more experience in accounting. And then this year I've got my CMFO, and then the city recorder and parks director finished their CMFO. So we have four certified municipal finance officers overseeing the budget, which is a state requirement. You have to have at least one. And I always like to have duplication, because so the more informed and the more knowledgeable your staff is, the better the city runs and the more efficient we run. And we're sure we're meeting state regulations and things of that nature, you know, for the budget. You know, they have a better understanding of what they can and can't do, you know, what requirements I'm having to meet, you know, turning it in within the timeline after it's passed, and, you know, what all it has to take to get that stuff into the budget, you know. We always start in January talking about capital projects with the council. What do you want in the budget? What do you want to see? What do you want to accomplish for the year? We just awarded $169,845 worth of paving this week to keep us on track. We have a master paving plan, and we have capital outlay 5 and 10 year plans. So everything. That way council kind of knows, here's where we're at, here's where we need to be getting to, and what do we need to be achieving. And then what goals do they have? You know, we've got the new park. So one of the goals this year was they wanted to put more money into the new park. So they put $500,000 in the budget to try to move the new park further along. And they may even decide to take a bigger bite out of it and try to do more. But that was one of the big projects that they chose to do. And then they also put $150,000 in existing park to do upgrades and make improvements there. We've got restrooms that need remodeled and things that need to be happening to improve our facilities, equipment replacements. There's a whole list of things. So,
well, they're very proactive, right?
They are.
And they have been, at least since you've been there.
Yeah, we try to, and you know, we go over that 5 and 10 year plan repeatedly.
Yeah.
Here's the things that we've done. Here's the things we've had to put off. Here's where I think we need to be talking about the replacement of these things. Like this year, one of the things we're replacing is a water sewer service, what we call a crane truck, and it lifts sewer pumps and does water repairs and all kinds of things, but that has to be replaced. The one we've got is a 2014, and we've got good service out of it, but it's time for it to be replaced. Last year, we got a new garbage truck that's a commercial truck that will do residential automated route too. Single axle, first time the company had ever built that truck to do what I wanted to do with it. And they were like, yeah, we think it'll do that. And so we ordered it. And then engineering called and goes, we need to take a second look at this. We've never done this truck the way you're wanting it done. So let us double check this. And called back and said, yep, this will work. I said, it should. I mean, that's what that truck was designed for. Even though you all are restricting it to a residential, it will do both routes.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal for us to have one truck that can do two routes.
Well, I don't know if you knew that through the CMFO or if you just knew that by knowledge or working through it, but let's talk about the CMFO for Certified Municipal Finance Officer. It's a year-long program.
It is.
You're meeting every month,
right,
and you're having a different class every month, and that includes financial reporting and cash flows and basic accounting and higher-level accounting. I mean, debt management, right?
Right, debt management, payroll, pension, you know, general government.
Mm-hmm.
There's 11 classes now, 12?
Yeah.
Each one is a full day, and at the end of the day, you have to take an exam and pass it. And if you don't pass it, you have to keep taking it till you do to get the certification at the end of the year. And there's quite a few of those classes that are extremely difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, they're hard, and it's a big deal to get that. The parks director and I went. He started a little after I did, trying to go get his. And then also got Rafferty from Monterey involved and got him to go get his.
Yep.
I said, we're going that way anyway. We might as well all ride together.
That's right.
And so, and then our new city recorder went and got hers this year. And the accountant had already been a CMFO. And even after you earn it, after that first year and all those classes and all those hours, you still have to get, returning credits. You have to keep doing continuing education to maintain it.
Yeah.
So every year you have to turn in, is it 16 hours?
Yeah.
Of continuing 16. Education. Mm-hmm. So, all of us are continually attending classes and getting credits and trying to learn more and more and find new things to make our process, make our system work more efficient and work better and maintain guidelines.
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons I enjoyed working at the University of Tennessee for 19 years is they had programs for cities and counties, for people that work in it every day, the employees of counties and cities, to learn.
Right.
Right. And to be better and to better serve. And then those classes, there's the CMFO, there's a CCFO on the county side. They're very similar. It's just different between cities and counties. But you're learning transparency. You're learning accountability. You're learning internal controls. You're learning how not to do the wrong thing. Right.
Right.
You're trying to learn all the principles of proper accounting and management of funds.
It is.
And I think one of the reasons University of Tennessee is the best in my mind is they offer that. And they allow people like you and three of your counterparts to go and do this. And your council wanted you to do it, obviously, mm-hmm. and your mayor supported it. And I think it's wonderful.
It is. It's a great opportunity, too, because you meet other entities and other cities, and they're talking about things that they're experiencing. And they may be similar to what we're experiencing or what we've already dealt with. And so then you learn, you have counterparts that you can call for advice hey, they dealt with this. Let's call them and see what they did. Or Walgood was talking about that. Maybe we call them and see what they run into, what they saw, what they thought they need to fix. And it gives you someone else to reach out to who does that every day, who may have seen that or may have experience with it that you can lean on for advice. Mm-hmm. And that's a great, it's great for us because we call other cities, say, hey, what about this? Do you have this policy? Could you send it to me? And you can take those and look at them and go through them and find out, hey, they did this and this didn't work. So this other city did this and it worked better. And you find out how to make your programs or your policy better.
Yeah, and you're learning also how to write fund balance policies.
Yes.
You know, so what's the fund balance look like after y'all pass the budget and all?
So our fund balance, we should be next year. We're at about $7.5 million right now, and next year, you know, they spend a little bit more than revenue. We should be at least at $6 million, and so we're strong fund balance. You know, they chose to tackle some big projects this year and try to get ahead. So. But we'll stay steady and keep strong, and I don't think we'll drop that much. I'll have some extra revenue that we won't spend.
And that extra money they're spending is basically on one-time
projects. It is. It's one-time projects.
It's not recurring.
Nope.
I'm with Keith Morrison, All Good City Manager here on Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers here with Keith Morrison, All Good City Manager. Happy to have him on. A lot of updates with All Good. Just passed the budget Tuesday, May 13th, and looking forward to starting the new fiscal year July 1. Keith, we've been talking all things budget and everything going on, and we haven't got to personnel yet. How many employees are at the City of All Good roughly right now?
So the City of All Good employs 37 full-time employees. Which is small. You know, we've got police department's the largest department I have. It's sitting at about 16 officers. We've got a few spots open right now. Plus, this year in the new budget, we're adding a full-time firefighter. So last year, we added a full-time fire chief, first time we've ever had mm-hmm. that in the history of All Good. This year, we're adding an additional firefighter, and we're still trying to figure some of that out, but they keep working towards building that full-time fire department. So that's one of the targets. Matter of fact, we released that advertisement yesterday.
Okay.
In hopes that we can get a full-time firefighter on staff by July 1st.
Are you finding it hard, you and the council and the mayor, finding it hard to retain employees or recruit employees or both?
It's a little of both. It's just, you know, if there's employees now or I guess more mobile, so to speak, so they're moving around a lot more. We currently have a police department position open, fixing to have a second one open. And then we've got a public works position open that we've been interviewing for this week. And I've got a parks position open that we've been interviewing. And then we also have some school crossing guard, you know, somebody looking for some part-time employment. It's a great opportunity. It pays pretty good. It's $18 an hour for about 20 hours a week. 10 hours a week.
Yeah.
Of course, when school's out, they don't get paid, but
right.
You know, it's for part-time pay. It's a pretty good job, you know? And so we did work on a salary study this year. MTAS come in, through University of Tennessee and did a salary study based on our specific positions. Cause council wanted to see where we were at. There were several positions that were underpaid. There were several that were right on target and a few overpaid. So they made those adjustments this year in this pay scale. And also, you know, if you didn't get an adjustment, they still got a dollar an hour raise. So we're continually fighting the salary. Everybody around us is doing the same thing. You know, Livingston did a salary study, I think, this year and was looking at pay. I know the counties are doing that. You know, it's a constant revolving wheel right now that you just can't stay ahead of, no matter how hard you try. And you know, benefits and pay, you know, are constantly evolving and changing, and health insurance. And, you know, we're finding a lot of employees working, you know, primarily to keep health insurance. We've got state retirement, so we've got good retirement, but it's just a constant, you know, recruiting and finding the right fit and the right person and adjusting pays to stay competitive.
Yeah. So basically, you got 4 or 5 positions full time and then right. A crossing guard position open. So if somebody's interested, they go to the website?
They go to the website. They can go to City Hall.
Okay.
They're posted. And we've got a blog on our allgood-tn.com. Applications on there. Job descriptions are on there. So they can check those out, and we continually update them. But it's, you know, like I said, it's constantly moving target, trying to keep up.
So it's, and we can, I'm going to digress, Keith, I'm sorry. You know, Putnam County's growing.
It is.
Allgood's growing, Cookeville, Baxter, Monterey, everything is growing, it seems like, in Putnam County. And I had this conversation with a person that's in government as well a few weeks ago, and they're like, hey, you know, are y'all having trouble with job openings? And I said, well, we have job openings. You know, we have plenty of openings. We just don't have people that want to fill them, right?
Yeah.
They're like, well, you know, that's kind of weird. Your unemployment rate's low. Yeah, we have a low unemployment rate, but we have these openings. And I said, they're like, well, if y'all are growing so much, why do you have job openings? I said, the people that are moving here already have a job. Yeah. Most of them.
Most of them do.
And some of them, like my next door neighbors moved from California. Both of them work from home. Yeah. You know, their jobs are at home. So not everybody moving here is jobless, right?
No, and the employment landscape's changed so much over the years. You know, used to get a government job or municipal job, you know, you really had to work to get in. Now, it's available if you're interested, but there's so many opportunities employees can pick. Where do I really want to be? What do I value? What means a lot to me? You know, what do I want to do? What kind of schedule do I want? There's just plenty of opportunity for people to do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, and you mentioned insurance, and people want good health insurance.
They do.
Right? Well, government jobs, cities and counties, most of the time, especially since the Affordable Care Act came about, you know, under the Obama administration, people are looking to go to government for insurance.
They are.
And most of the governments in this county and around us offer pretty good health insurance.
They do. And we've got a great Blue Cross Blue Shield plan. You know, we're always trying to find ways to tweak it, make it better, not, you know, trying to save money, save employees money, give them the most benefit they can, you know, but at the end of the day, it's about taking care of the employees. And so that's a constant revolving door because healthcare is changing every year. Insurance is changing every year. And it's just constantly having to figure out how to take care of the employees. And so that's one of the things, you know, we changed our retirement a few years ago. We went to the state retirement, the defined benefit, and that's helped and hurt too. Before that, what we were seeing is we were getting a lot of retirees that had state retirement who could come to us and work while drawing retirement. And when we switched to defined benefit with the state, that's not really an option anymore.
Right.
So that kind of changed that landscape. And, you know, for the good, for the better, and for worse in cases, it gives us an opportunity to recruit employees who are government employees that have state retirement. They can come to us mm-hmm. and continue that retirement. They don't lose right. any ground. So that's a benefit. But on the other side, some of that experience and training that could retire and come work that still had some years that they wanted to put in, that's good experience, you know, for younger folks to learn from and build on. And it gives you that a different angle. So it's constant changing landscape. So you're always fighting to stay up with the pay, stay up with the benefits, and keep employees, you know, with us.
Yeah. So the hard part for me and your position would be the budget. It's over with, right? And
it is.
New fiscal year is getting ready to start in July. What's next for the city of Allgood? What are y'all looking to do over the next fiscal year?
We're,
or even 5 years?
Yeah, for the next year, you know, the parks director, Director Phipps and I and Director Bradshaw and Public Works and Water and Sewer are always looking down the road. What can we do to make City of Allgood better? You know, we're talking about events and what events do we offer? Where do we maximize events? What do we do to give back to our community? What do we put into the park? You know, what's the long range plan for the park? We've got master plans at the new park that involve an indoor gymnasium, a new library, some rental rooms, splash pads. So we're trying to find ways to achieve those. With water sewer, we're looking at automated meter reading with leak detection so that that's a benefit to our customers. It's a benefit to the city. It saves us both money, so trying to get into that system. We're always looking for ways to improve, you know, and we're a small city. You know, it takes all of us working together. You know, we've got projects right now that Parks and Rec and Public Works are working on together, and I've been out there with them, you know, digging ditch for electrical line and running equipment, and we're constantly having to help each other. You know, have a wreck scene, you know, you may have Public Works, Parks, you know, me, fire, police, all of us there.
Right.
You know, it just depends on what's happening.
Yeah.
So, but we're trying to find ways. You know, we try to expand services and continue to improve. We changed software this year to give customers online access to their accounts with online payment options that were better for the customer. It gave them more insight into their usage and gave them more access to their account than they've ever had before. So we were excited for that change. It updated our software, got it all into one program where it just works better. And we keep looking for ways to improve. We're going to do a coffee with the council here soon on a Saturday, probably in the morning, and have a little coffee bar set up and just let people come in and talk to department heads, talk to council and staff. And if they've got concerns, if they want to learn about the government, if there's something they just want to talk to us about budget or problems or things they'd like to see, you know, we just want to have that open communication with our citizens.
I think it's great. Transparency, being communicative, willing to talk to people is a big deal. But, you know, I've said this before, people want to know how much you care more than how much you know, right?
Oh, yeah. For us, it's a different feel. We've still got that small town community feel, and we want to keep that. You know, when people call and they get me on the phone, a lot of times they're shocked, like, it's not a secretary, it's really you. I mean, or they call my desk phone and it rings my cell phone and I answer it and they're like, asking a question. I'm not at my desk right now. I'm out in the field running a backhoe or running a tractor or doing this or that. And they're like, you know, they're surprised, you know. So it's different, you know. And then we joke and all good a lot. They don't call 911. They call me or the police chief or the fire chief direct. We need an ambulance. Well, call 911. We did. No, you didn't. But we'll get you. We got you. Right. So we try to take care of our citizens. And we want that. You know, we have the opportunity to go to the citizens at their home, sit down on the front porch and talk about their problem and try to help them if we can. You know, there's some things that just, unfortunately, we can't do. But if there's something we can fix, we're going to try our best to take care of our community.
Sure. Yeah, y'all are doing a wonderful job. Y'all have any events coming up
you want to talk about? We do. We've got, so StoneCom is going to be participating with us for the Let Freedom Ring 2025. June 28th from 5 to 9, we'll have live band, fireworks, all kinds of activities at the ballpark. So Roy's full on planning that right now, and it'll be a big night. We've put some more money into fireworks and music, and hopefully we'll have a big night.
So you're a man of many talents. Are you going to perform?
No, I will actually be out of town that week. my son fishes high school tournaments. And so we are going to Grove, Oklahoma for the World Championship to represent the Upper Cumberland Junior Anglers. So
I'm supposed to be traveling with Lynn McHenry in the middle school the Nationals, I guess.
Are you going to South Dakota? Yeah.
I'm Lynn's supposed to be going with him. So
that'd be interesting.
You know, we don't have kids, so I live through my nephews and Lynn's and my other friends, the Herons, their kids. So I live through them. So I said, hey, man, I'll take that road trip with you.
Yeah, we were actually fishing with the McHenry boys this past weekend for the two-day fish off at Nick. It was a big day, big weekend for my guys. They had never turned in a full five fish limit, and they did that.
Yeah,
so they were excited. So.
Well, be careful on that trip. Good luck.
Good luck to your son. It's exciting.
Keith, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Keith Morrison, City of Allgood. He's a city manager and many talents. Does a lot of things. Allgood is doing really well. Great people, great leadership, great council, great mayor, great department heads. Just very blessed to have them. Remember, it's always easier to smile than to frown, folks. Be kind, make somebody's day. Loving each other. Hope you have a good weekend. We'll see you next time.